You know how much has been written about washing one another's feet? You know how if you go from church to church, how different we handle that passage of Scripture? You know how many people have no clue or have the wrong clue about what that means? Anybody here have dirty feet? You ever need somebody to wash your feet? Do you understand what it means when he said, a new commandment, it's a commandment. You have a moral obligation to wash one another's feet. This is not an option. It's not something you do if you want to do. As a believer in Jesus Christ, every one of us is supposed to wash one another's feet. Have you done it? Have you ever washed somebody else's feet? Blessed are you if you do it. I suspect you might think, I've never done it. I suspect, even though you might think you've never done it, you might have done it. Today we're going to look at this passage, which to me is one of the great, great passages. When I first understood it, and I'm not sure I completely understand it yet, when I first understood it, just opened my eyes. We understand it, all the one another's you're studying in the Bible fellowship times, to love one another and to teach and admonish one another. That was the subject this week. And all the one another's, and the one that's number one on the list as far as chronology in the Bible is wash one another's feet. And it's the one that we kind of avoid because we're not sure that we really, really need it. If today I had a towel and a bow up here and I said, I want to wash somebody's feet, would you come and do it? Well, you don't have to come and do it. You know why? It's not for you to come to me and ask me to wash your feet. It's for me to see your feet are dirty and go to you and help you as it is for you with me. And I hope that today when we're all done, we'll be warmed in our heart by a couple of things. Number one, we'll be warmed in our heart that we have a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, that's concerned about dirty feet. He's concerned about dirty feet in your life and my life as he was in their life. We have a Savior who loves us so much that he's concerned about dirty feet. And as you saw in the reading of the text, he would get down and he would wash somebody's feet. And he would do that for you today. The only problem is he's not here. Did you notice? Jesus Christ in one sense is here. In another sense, he's not here because he's in heaven. And if he knew you had dirty feet today, he'd come and do it to you. But he's not here, so he needs somebody else to do it, like the person near you. What a blessing to have people that in your lives are willing to humble themselves, come to you, take the initiative and wash your feet. And also, I hope it warms your heart to realize that you have that great, great privilege. Blessed is he who does it. One of the great blessings of life is to work in the hearts and lives of other people and wash other people's feet. So today we're going to look at it. You had it all read for you. And I hope that as we go through it, we would fully understand something of what it's all about. But it begins by this. How are you going to understand what it means to wash one another's feet? The Catholics and a bunch of other people see it as an ordinance, not a sacrament, I should say. There are some who believe it's an ordinance, and there's a difference between a sacrament and an ordinance. A sacrament actually does something for you, has merit. If you just do it, whether you understand it or not, if you just do it, somehow bring the grace and the Spirit of God into your life. An ordinance is something that you're just supposed to do because, well, it's like baptism and it's like communion. An ordinance is something that's been ordained by Jesus Christ. In other words, he commanded us to do it. It was practiced by the early church. And it has a symbolic meaning. It's supposed to show us by symbol, as in a couple of weeks we're going to have a baptism. If you'd like to join us for that, let me know. And it's just an external demonstration. It's an ordinance. It shows you how a person is saved. And so an ordinance is like that. And there are those who have sacraments. Some say it's an ordinance. And some say it's just a great example. And some say, stay away from it because it's John chapter 13 and we don't understand John 13. Don't ever do it. Don't need to do it. Hopefully today we will get a sense of it. Now, as you look in your bulletin, you have an outline of the lesson. And as you go through it, it's all about washing one another's feet. And as you do that, there's a couple of things that are important. First of all, you have to understand the setting in which it is given. And you know that because last week you were here and we started this series on John chapter 13, the excursion into the love of Jesus Christ. You understand that it's Passover. In other words, it's springtime of the year. Roads are muddy. But more importantly, the people of Israel are really getting focused on the fact that some lambs are going to be slaughtered, maybe a couple hundred thousand in a couple days, in a couple 3-hour period of time. 200,000 lambs are going to be slaughtered. The blood is going to be shed. All picturing the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus Christ knows it's about that time. He knows his hour is here. He knows he's going to die on a cross in just a few hours. 21 hours from now, he will be dead. And you understand that with all of that in mind, he loved his own and he loved them to the end. All his attention is on them. It's not on himself, even though he's going to die. And knowing that he loves them to the end, knowing that he's going to depart, knowing that he's not going to be with them eternally in the presence of them, knowing that they're going to be on their own, they're going to be confused, they need a lot of the things, and they're not going to be able to have him do it for him, he's going to teach them some things, and one of them he's going to teach them is to wash one another's feet. You have to understand the setting if you're really going to understand what's going on. Jesus Christ, about to leave, knowing that he's going to die for the sins of the world, also recognizes that his disciples need to learn how to take care of each other, because he will not be able to do that personally for them anymore. You also have to understand something about this custom, and I think you have all known the cultural custom of that day. They were obsessed. Some Jewish people were obsessed with cleanliness. They were obsessed with washing. And so if you go to the Qumran sites today, you see all the basins where they washed. And I mean, they washed in the morning, they washed at noon, they went into the pool, they bathed, they got clean, they were obsessed with being clean. Other Jews probably weren't so obsessed, but they were. And you get all clean. And the custom of the day is you cleaned up in the morning and then you did it, went about your thing. But even if you walk from the pool to your house, especially in the spring through the muddy water, paths that you were on, or in the dry, dusty season, your feet would get dirty. So the custom of the day was this. Every time you walked into any building, into any home, there would be a basin of water with a towel. Because they knew you were clean. You were smart enough to wash yourself. But you just walked a few miles or a half a mile or something. Your feet were dirty, and you wouldn't walk into somebody's house with dirty feet, would you? So there was a basin with water in. There was a towel. And if you were in a poor house, you did it yourself. And if you were in a rich house, they would have a servant sitting there taking care of that so your feet would be washed. Now, this is considered such a lowly task, according to this custom, that if you were a Jewish slave, you didn't have to do it. Jewish slaves did not have to wash anybody else's feet, because this is like the bottom of the pile of jobs. I mean, this is as low as you can get. Gentile slaves, yeah, they can wash people's feet. But if you had a Jewish slave, he did not have to wash anybody's feet. So most of the people, when they walked in the house, by design, would wash their own feet. Just that's the first thing you do. If you're in a rich house, they might have a Gentile slave and he would wash your feet. But the custom of the day was, make sure when you go into a person's house, you're not only bathed, it wouldn't be appropriate for you to sit in their house with dirty feet. I remember when I was a kid growing up, we would go down to Lake Michigan, which is not too far from our house, and we'd all go swimming, had a great time. And then we had to come out of the water, we had to go to the car, you know, and jump in the car. And Dad would make sure, you know, clean up, get all the sand off. You don't want sand in the car. So you did that. And then you'd run across the sand to the car, and guess what was true? Your feet were full of sand. There's no way around it. You jumped in the car, and Dad was never too happy with us for dirty feet. You never show up in somebody's house with dirty feet. Would you? Would you sit there with dirty feet? Obviously not. And so the custom of the day is very, very important. In fact, as you read on, you recognize according to this custom, you would ask this question. If you were one of the disciples and you had it read for you, and suddenly you're at a table and you're halfway through a meal and Jesus Christ stands up, takes off the outer cloak, puts a towel around himself, goes and starts to wash your feet, what would you be thinking? I think you know what you'd be thinking, like, whoops, why didn't I wash my feet? Why did I walk into this room and I didn't wash my feet? I have dirty feet. I bet you they suddenly thought, you know, what was I thinking? I hope he doesn't come to me, because if he comes to me, he sees my feet. You know, he's going to see my feet are dirty too. I didn't wash my own feet. They would be thinking about dirty feet. They would think about whatever it was that triggered in their life, even though it's a custom of the day that you go in anybody's house, you do it tonight for whatever reason. They're arguing over who's the greatest in the kingdom. And tonight, for whatever reason, Peter didn't wash his feet, so I'm not washing my feet. James didn't wash his feet. They all walked in. Not one of them washed their feet. They were all thinking about a crown and a throne. The triumphal entry was done. And we're going to be the greatest in the kingdom. And I'm going to sit on the right hand. He's going to sit on the left hand. We're going to be great, 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 great. And all of a sudden it dawned on them, you know what? All I was thinking about was a crown and a throne. Jesus Christ is aware that I have dirty feet. It's not a throne. It's a towel that Jesus is thinking about. They would not only suddenly hit him.
What was I thinking?
I have dirty feet and I didn't take care of them. I'm sure it would have struck them, as you see in the evidence of the Apostle Peter. What is Jesus doing? They've already all said, one way or another, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Truly, this is the Son of God. Can you imagine if Jesus really was here today? And we all truly understand that He is the eternal Son of the eternal God. He is the creator and sustainer of this universe. He is my Lord and my teacher. Can you imagine how intimidating that must have been? And suddenly He stands up. And He's walking around. And He gets the basin. He gets the towel. He starts to wash their feet. I'm sure they're thinking about dirty feet. What was I thinking? And a humble servant, what is he thinking? What is the Lord and Master of this universe doing? In fact, imagine, I don't know who you would think of in our world as like the highest person in your mind. I don't know who that'd be. Somebody in your corporation who's the president. What if the president of your corporation came to you someday and was going to wash your feet? Would you feel comfortable about that? I think you'd all pull your feet back as far as you can and say, no, you don't need to do it. I'll go do it. It must have been intimidating. It must have been embarrassing. It must have been convicting. The Lord and Master of the universe is going to wash my feet. I'm sure that's what they were thinking. You have to understand the setting. You have to understand the custom. You have to understand as you go down in John chapter 13, as it was read for you, the confusion, my fault. It goes like this in chapter 13. Then he came to Simon Peter. Now, I just love Simon Peter. I wish I was like him. He says what he means and means what he says. And if it's in his head, it comes out of his mouth. Sometimes that's not good. Sometimes that is good. But you got to love him. They're probably all thinking the same thing. But here he is, says something that is vital for us to understand. He says in verse 6, Lord, are you, the emphasis is on you, are you washing my feet? I could maybe understand a Gentile servant doing it. By law, the Jews don't have to do it to each other. Maybe you could even understand that. I could maybe even understand some of the other disciples sitting around here doing it for me. But are you washing my feet? What are you doing? You see, he doesn't understand it. Whatever is going on with foot washing, Peter doesn't understand it. Now, do you think he understands humility? Do you think he understands humble service? Obviously, he does. Do you think he understands the custom of washing feet? Obviously, he does. So there's something going on in this setting that he doesn't understand. And Jesus is going to make that important to us. And so his first statement is very simple. Are you washing my feet? Can't be. Jesus' answer is very clear. Verse 7, what I've done, you do not understand. But you will know after this. Whatever is going on here, it's something he does not understand. And it's something that eventually he will understand sometime down the road. We understand that the first hindrance to letting somebody wash your feet, at least for Peter and probably for all of us, is this. My status. You know, why would you wash my feet? If tomorrow morning you come to my office, one of you, and starts to wash my feet, you know what I'm going to tell you? Get out. You know, that would be my natural reaction. Right? Would you not do that if I came to your house today and started to wash your feet? Would you not say, I don't need it. You're the pastor. You don't have to wash my feet. We'd be humbled by it. If you're ever going to let somebody wash your feet, it takes real humility, not only to do it, but it takes real humility to let somebody do it to you. Some of you have practiced this. I was in a church setting where they considered it an ordinance, and so they did it in services. And so I participated the time we were there. I'll tell you, it's very humbling when some little old man comes up to you, takes off your shoes, takes off your socks, gets a bowl of water, and washes your feet. Everything inside me says, don't do it. Everything inside me says, I can do this myself. It takes real humility to do it. It takes real humility to have it done. He didn't understand. Peter says, you don't understand it. There's something about this you don't get. Now, Peter then says, Peter said, you will never wash my feet. I won't allow it. I mean, you're my Lord and Master. You shouldn't do it, and I'm not going to let you do it. So he didn't understand it, and then he wouldn't allow it. And Jesus' answer to this one is very simple. If I do not wash you, you have no part with me. Simon said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. So whatever's going on, you have to understand his confusion there. He didn't understand it. And he wouldn't allow it. And Jesus said, if you're going to have fellowship with me, you're going to sit at my table and have meal with me, you need to have clean feet. And if you won't do it yourself, I'll do it for you. But if you want to be a part of my group, if you want to be a part of who I am, we have clean feet here. And Peter then says, wash my whole body. I love Peter. Don't you love Peter? I mean, it's like if clean feet is what it takes to be a part of your group, take on, go on, do the whole shooting match. Wash my whole body. Was he right? You understand he still didn't get it. There's something he is not getting here. So you have to understand the setting. You have to understand the cultural custom. You have to understand the confusion that's going on. It's not about humility. It's not about service. It's not about love. It's not about... He understands that. There's something going on he doesn't understand. And now we understand it has something to do. If you're going to be a part of Jesus, you have to have your feet washed. Peter then says, well, and then wash my whole thing. So now there's a clarification. Here's what Jesus says in verse 10. Jesus said to him, he who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you. And suddenly the lights are starting to go on in our brains as we read the setting. And hopefully the lights were going on in the lives of those disciples. Later on, he's going to say in verse 15, for I have given you a type. It's translated example, but it should be translated type. You know what a type is? A type is if you have some kind of a die or mold, and you have a bunch of clay here or metal or whatever, and you press it in. When you pull out, this represents this, right? This is the opposite of this. And so if you show me the die that you're going to push into the mold of clay or of metal, you pull the die away, I know what it's going to look like. Jesus is doing something here that is a type. He's doing something that when you see this, then you should be able to figure out what this is. We do that with communion, for example. When you see the cup and the bread, you see that. It's a type. It helps you to see the reality behind it. Christ died for your sins and shed his blood. When you go to a baptism, you see the type. You understand by looking at that, it helps me see the reality that this person died with Christ, was buried with Christ, and rose again with Christ. So the reality is very obvious to us because we see the type. And there's something going on here about washing feet that's a type of something bigger and better. Now we got a little clue here. Peter says, wash me completely. Jesus says, you don't need to be. You're already bathed. Now, you understand the play on words of wash, which is, you know, what you do when you got dirty feet. And bathing is what you do when you're really dirty and you jump in the pool. He said, all of you, except one, we know who that one was, have already been bathed. That one is Judas. That'll be clear to us before this and after this. All of you have already believed in Jesus Christ and have been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. All of you already are saved. In one sense, all of you have your sins fully taken care of through the death of Christ. But as you walk through your world on a daily basis, guess what happens? You get dirty feet. And we all can understand the picture instantly. When I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, when you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, I trusted in Christ to save me. I was a sinner. I was dirty. I was completely dirty. You know what He did? What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. He bathed me. I am clothed in His righteousness. I am clean. My sins have been taken care of. If sin and dirt go together, righteousness and cleanliness go together. I'm clean. I don't ever have to do that again. Peter didn't have to do it again. Not in the presence of Jesus Christ. But you know what happens when I walk through my daily life? Know what happens to you when you walk through your life? You get your feet dirty. It's impossible to walk from Lake Michigan to the car with bare feet without getting them dirty. No matter how careful you are, how much you try to stay on the big rocks and whatever, the world is dirty. You live in it, and eventually you're going to have dirty feet. Sin is going to be on your feet, on your life. You're already clean, you're bathed. But daily sin can snap into your life. And He's trying to show them by example, by type. You know when that's true? You should have taken care of it yourself at the door. That's a great principle of Scripture. He who judges himself and deals with sin in his own life, no one has to talk to you. Every time you sin and you just deal with it on your own, no one has to come walk over and talk to you about it, right? But if you don't, and I notice you have dirty feet, or you notice I have dirty feet, somehow being with Jesus and with His people, fellowship, is a little bit less than it could have been. Because I have dirty feet. Who likes to sit in a group with dirty feet? Sin in my life ruins my relationship, not my eternal standing, but my relationship with Jesus Christ. That's why He would say in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Just take care of it. Just tell me about it. It's clean. You know what happens? Sometimes I don't do that. Either because I don't see it, and I've had that and you've had it. I just didn't even see it. I didn't even know I was doing something wrong. It didn't dawn on me. Or because I know it's wrong, I don't want to see it. I don't want to deal with it. So when we come together as God's people and we got dirty feet, if you don't take care of it yourself, then somebody like the Lord Jesus Christ has to take the initiative and help you with that. You understand by Christ's clarification, this has nothing to do with eternal salvation. You're already saved if you've trusted in Christ, but it has everything to do with dirty feet. So what does this mean? Well, in one sense, we understand it's a simple Oriental custom. You wash feet. You don't sit at tables with dirty feet. It's a disgrace to your host. If you come and don't have your feet cleaned, I mean, what are you thinking? But more than that, it's a display of humble service by then your Lord and Master. No matter who you are, it takes humility to see that guy has dirty feet. I will go take care of that. It's a display of unselfishness. It's a display of humble service. It's a display of the willingness to get on your knees and wash somebody else's feet. So in that sense, it's a display of humility and service. And on the other side, if you're the one getting it done, you have to let him do it. And it takes a lot of humility to let somebody walk into your life and wash your feet. I mean, that takes a lot of humility. So it is a display of humble service. But I'm convinced on the basis of what we read here, it's more than that. Matthew Henry, the great commentator, said it this way. Not only is it an Oriental custom, not only is it talking and displaying and showing us that we should be willing to humbly serve one another, just like Christ was willing to humbly serve each other, His disciples. It has something to do with dirt on our feet. It has something to do with daily sin in our lives. It has something to do with the process of sanctification, where we who are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ and now walk through this world and occasionally get dirty, we need to have that dirt taken care of so that we can grow in the grace and knowledge of Him. And if we don't do it ourselves, we need somebody to help us. Because it would be a disgrace to Christ if we sat around with dirty feet. It would be a disgrace to the group if we all sat around with dirty feet. And it wouldn't be good for us. So, where does he lead this? It leads to this in verse 12. So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments and sat down again, he said to them, "Do you know what I've done?" You got it? Do you? I hope you do. But if you didn't, he said, "I'll tell you. Here's what it takes." Verse 13. "You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, 'Well, for I am so.' If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you have a moral obligation to wash one another's feet." And so it's going to take personal involvement. We were talking in our ABF class today, our Bible Fellowship class, about teaching and admonishing, and fits right with this. And one of the things we don't like is people, for whatever reason, we like to be independent. Right? I don't need your help, and I'm not planning to help you. All right? Especially when it comes to tricky things like sin in our life. You know, just don't deal with me and I won't deal with you. It takes personal involvement. If I, your Lord and Master, do it to you, do you think you don't have a moral responsibility when you see somebody sitting around with dirty feet? You don't have a moral responsibility to go help them? Sure we do. If the Lord of the universe would humble himself to help his disciples, surely I, who am much less than that, can humble myself and see my moral obligation. It takes personal involvement. Notice what it says in verse 15. "For I have given you an example or a type that you would do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who sent greater than he who sent him." You understand? We have to do it like he would have done it and follow his pattern, which takes great selflessness. You don't know anybody with dirty feet? If you don't know somebody with dirty feet, you live in a different world than I do. If every Christian you know is living perfectly for the Lord and has their feet cleaned perfectly every day, boy, you got a good bunch of friends. But we don't live in that world. We know people who have dirty feet. We know people who are overtaken in a fault. We know people who have sinned and aren't taking care of it. We know that. We have a moral obligation to do it, but we have to have a Christ-like spirit in which we do it. We have to do it like He did. He didn't wait for them to come to Him. He took the initiative. He saw the need. He jumped up and went and did it. Who am I to help my brother? Well, who is Jesus, you know? Takes Christ-like selflessness, service, humility. We have to do it like He did it. And you can think of all the words that would go with how He did it. And then you notice this in verse 17. "If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." You understand, He has a great promise of blessing and reward to those who would do this. Blessing is the word that's found in the Beatitudes. Blessed is a man who, Beatitudes, blessed. You know one of the greatest rewards of your life? One of the greatest blessings of your life will be when you are able to help somebody overcome, deal with, be victorious in a sin in their life. We don't tell the rest of the world about it. We don't need to gossip. We don't need to tell the world. We're good at that, by the way. We're good at telling everybody else about what we saw in somebody's life instead of going to the person and talking to them. One of the greatest blessings in life is if God would use you and me to walk into the life of somebody who has dirty feet. They're already saved, but something happened. And we help them. We just help them. You say, how do I do that? How do I do that? I mean, I don't think I'm good at that. Anybody here think you're good at that? Nobody here is good at it, if you think that way. It doesn't guarantee that when you go do it, they'll thank you. They might just throw you right out of the house. They might never talk to you again. Doesn't guarantee they'll love you. Doesn't guarantee they'll thank you. Doesn't guarantee that when you do it, it'll work. Doesn't guarantee that because you humble yourself and you pray and say, God, help me as I go to Him, that it's guaranteed it's going to work. Doesn't guarantee that. A lot of things it doesn't guarantee. But you and I ask how we do it. I'd like you to go with me just to close today with Galatians chapter 6, and then we'll be done. Galatians chapter 6, I think, is a parallel passage to this. At least verse 1 is. And in my opinion, it really helps to know how you wash one another's feet. And I was very fortunate as a young man. First church I was a member of there in South Baptist Church in Lansing, Michigan. My pastor, Dr. Howard Sugden, he was just a great pastor. And he taught us how to wash feet. So some of these are from him and some of these are not from him, but it says this in chapter 6, verse 1. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any fault, you are spiritual, so restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. He said this, you know anybody overtaken in a fault? You know anybody with dirty feet? They aren't able to handle it, they're not handling it, whatever. Do you know anybody like that? He said this, make sure they need it. If you're going to wash somebody's feet, make sure their feet are dirty. You might have to wait a little while to make sure that what you thought you saw really is true, or what you thought somebody said really is true. You know how hard it is to walk up to somebody to wash their feet, and when you find out, you look down, their feet are already clean? You feel really, really not too smart at that moment. And they're embarrassed, like, why are you washing my feet? I didn't need it. If you see somebody overtaken in a fault, they really need it. That's step number one. Make sure they need it. They might not. What's number two? You who are spiritual. Make sure your feet are clean. Do not try to wash somebody else's feet while you're sitting there with dirty feet. It doesn't work very well. They see your dirty feet. That's why not everybody can do this, because not everybody can do it at all times in their life. Sometimes you got dirty feet. You're the last guy in the world to go do this. If you got dirty feet and try to wash somebody else's feet, probably isn't going to work. But don't think you have to be perfect. Like the only guy in this church who can do that is whoever. You name the name. You are spiritual. You see a brother overtaken in a fault. You are spiritual. It says this in verse 1. Restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness. I'll never forget when Dr. Sugden said, make sure the water's not too hot. Can you imagine somebody to wash your feet and you stick your foot in there, it's burning hot? It doesn't work very well. You better do it with the right temperature water. You better do it with gentleness. You have to understand it's hard enough to let somebody wash your feet, but if you have scalding hot water, you probably are not going to be successful. And then that little word that's so important, restore. You just make sure you bring a towel. Make sure that your goal is not to leave them with dirty feet, nor is it to leave them with scalded feet, nor is it to leave them with wet feet. You just want to get over this, get it done with, and we'll be fine. We're moving on. I want to restore you. I don't want to scald you, hurt you. leave you all wet or dirty. You could probably come up with your own rules for washing one another's feet. That would come from Galatians 6 or John chapter 13 or some other passages of Scripture. But I hope we remember this. Blessed are those who do it. And I know it's hard. I would rather talk to 100 different people than to go see the sinner and deal with it. Wouldn't you? That's just natural. But I shouldn't talk to 100 different people. I should go see you. You should come see me. Do you know anybody with dirty feet? Maybe you have to look down and see if you have dirty feet. Wash them yourself. Just take care of it. Then the rest of us don't have to come over there. If you know somebody, it would be a great blessing and reward in your life if somehow God would use you to help them deal with sin in their life. To have victory over it and conquer it. And I trust that we can learn to do that. We do learn to do it. I know people have done it. So the greatest blessings in my life is when people have come to me. Well, I'll tell you, it takes a lot of courage to go to somebody else, especially when he's your pastor, and say, I think you have dirty feet. Do it in gentleness with the purpose of restoring, and God help us to do that. So let's love one another. And when we love, we're going to humbly serve each other. And in that humble service, it's just not I'm helping you eat and helping you whatever. I'm helping you with sin in your life, if that's what's needed. I have down here two glasses. I don't have time to do it. I was going to have two glasses here. You can picture it, right? I got two glasses in my hand. One of them is real clean, just came out of my wife's dishwasher. It's really clean. The other one has peanut butter and jam and a whole bunch of fingerprints and lip marks and so from my supper last night. All right? If I had a thing of water and I could pour water in this one or this one, say, which one do you want to drink from? I bet you I could guess which one you're going to take. Right? When I walk through my world, I get dirty. It will happen to Rich Van Heuchelman, and it will happen to you. If I can take care of myself, I'm cleaned up. Don't need to worry about me, please. But if I don't, wash me. It's not much fun to be with dirty glasses. Great blessing. You have sin in your life? Let's pray. Father, sin is a real part of our life. I'm glad today, Father, it's taken care of by the blood of Christ. And Father, I'm glad today that we do not have to be perfect. We just have to confess our sins. You're faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we can take care of ourselves and we can wash our own feet. Thank you for that. We can have full fellowship with you and we can just go on in life. But Father, I know sometimes we need to help others and we need others to help us. So please help us to do that in the spirit of gentleness, having washed our own feet with the purpose of restoring and doing it as Christ has done. Meet our needs in our life today, and we'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen.